it would become the dominant item on the American foreign policy agenda throughout the Cold War. In addition to this commitment to halting the spread of communism, to contain it, the United States also would introduce in 1947 the Marshall Plan. George Marshall, in many respects the most influential of the military men in the United States during the Second World War as Secretary of State, would announce a plan to provide economic aid to European countries. The aid was offered both to the countries of Eastern Europe as well as the West, though the Soviet Union forbade the Eastern European countries to take advantage of this Marshall aid, seeing the Marshall Plan as simply a capitalist attempt to penetrate Eastern Europe. These measures, the Truman Doctrine and the Marshall Plan, merely convinced the Soviets that the West, and particularly the United States, was pursuing an aggressive policy aimed at reestablishing anti-Soviet, imperialist, capitalist regimes and depriving the Soviet Union of its buffer zone against future German and now Western aggression. The Soviet Union's position, as the Cold War developed, from the Soviet perspective, what they wanted were friendly regimes, regimes that would not go fascist, would not become threats to their security all along their Western frontier. And we're not about to let free elections get in the way of establishing this important buffer for their security. To the Soviets, and this is the way they would certainly present it, this was a defensive agenda. Not one of aggression, not one of world revolution, spreading communism, and so on. But it is precisely this difference in perspective that would contribute to the deepening of the Cold War. In 1947-48, the American and British occupation authorities began discussions about the introduction of a common currency in their zones. Announced, indeed, their intention to create a new common currency in the West in order to rebuild the West German economy, the German economy. The Soviets, in response to this action, on June 24, 1948, cut all rail and road links to the Western sectors of Berlin. Not only was Germany divided into zones of occupation, with the Allied zones in the West, the Russian zone, obviously, in the east. The former capital city of Berlin was also divided into zones of occupation, a Russian, a French, American, and British. West Berlin was an island of Western occupation in a sea of Soviet occupation. Cutting those rail and road links to the city of Berlin in June of 1948 was the first direct confrontation between the Soviet Union and the West that looked like it might actually lead to hostilities. It would provoke the Allies to an extraordinary effort, the effort to relieve, to supply the Western sectors of Berlin with all of the necessities of life by air. The Berlin airlift would get underway in June of 1948. It would continue until May of 1949, an utterly stupendous effort, logistical effort, on the part of the Americans and the British, who were able to airlift supplies to the surrounded sectors of the city. The airlift would finally break the blockade of Berlin, and on May 12, 1949, Stalin lifted the blockade. But with the Berlin blockade and the Western airlift to the city, a new level of confrontation had been reached. Now the former allies were facing one another across an increasingly divided continent, and the level of tension had been escalated to a dangerous extent.